Early this morning, in just under 60 seconds, I downloaded my driver's license via the Service New South Wales app on my smartphone. And there I was, complete with a hologram shining behind my head, my shiny new electronic license. Now, Service New South Wales tells me I can use it if I'm pulled over by police and as my ID in shops, in pubs, in clubs, anywhere that you might get ID'd if they accept it. But I have to say that there are some concerns in the back of my head. What are some of these privacy implications and how will this data be shared and used? Lindsay Jackson is the chair of Electronic Frontiers Australia. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think about digital driver's licenses?
Oh, I've got concerns, and concerns from a few points of view. One is absolutely about that data storage and collection once you start to digitise these things. And then the other is the phone, like the device and what we have on that and that information. So you get pulled over by a police officer, you unlock your phone, they then have your unlocked phone, they take it to the car, and then they, you know, they're looking at whatever they do when they pull you over. So you've handed over your unlocked phone, and for some people that's going to put them at potential risk, or they might have information about their friends and family on there. We put a whole lot of stuff onto our devices. And then the flip side of that is if you do have a digital license and you refuse to unlock your phone, then you could potentially be arrested for failing to comply with the police directive. So it definitely feels like a slippery slope.
In saying that, we should trust our police officers, right?
I mean, lots of people get to trust police officers, depending on your background, depending on your ethnicity, depending on a whole range of things. Generally, you can, but that doesn't mean that you can trust 100% of anyone all of the time. And we know that there are groups of people that get marginalised and that are overrepresented when it comes to being pulled over or being questioned by police or all sorts of things like that. And so that might be, you know, you might be in that demographic, or you might have friends or family in that demographic. So, I mean, you know, you get a police officer's got your phone and an Instagram notification pops up and that's got, you know, a friend that's doing something that's, you know, not quite right. I think that you've opened up a lot of information about yourself. You wouldn't open up your handbag and give people your photo albums and all of those sorts of things. You'd feel uncomfortable about anyone rifling through that, and there's that potential here.
Yeah, was it just sort of inevitable, though, this is the way that we're going in this digital world, or do you think that we could have drawn a line at things like IDs?
I think we have to, like, it's not too late to ask ourselves what's inevitable and what's not. And a license, you know, I think we've got to go back to start challenging what is the point and the purpose of a license in the first place. A license is supposed to be a verification that, yes, you're legally allowed to drive. So, you know, now we've got this thing where you must have this card on you at all times, otherwise you're going to lose a demerit point. And then we've also got this thing where it's verified for your identification and you go into a club or a bar and it gets scanned, and so they've got your information. So, you know, all of a sudden it's become much more than it was ever actually intended to, and even any of the legislation around it was intended to. So instead of kind of going back and saying, you know, what's the purpose and what's the function, we're just digitizing it and putting more of that personal information into potential data lakes for some potential use down the track that's feeling quite unforeseen. And I think that people are really starting to become uncomfortable with the direction that could possibly take.
And we should say at this point, you do not have to download. There is no talk of this being the way that you must go. Paper licenses, those, you know, ones that sit in your wallet, they're still very much around, and there's no talk of them going anywhere just yet.
No, look, there's not, but, you know, like we do a lot of stuff around, say, Centrelink and people that are getting Centrelink. So, you know, there's a lot of those government services that are being forced onto phones, and lots of people in the community don't have very good access to phones or to data, or they've just got crap phones or they've got cracked phones. You know, you know, it's sort of a privileged position when you come into it, which is what developers do, because they build things in a perfect world and they're like, well, this app does this thing and it works really beautiful on these devices, but what is it really like for people? And then it feels odd that Service New South Wales kind of haven't come out with a lot of information about this. They do have these digital licenses in South Australia. There's not a lot of information that's coming out from there about how that is working and what usage rates are. And there's no real kind of research or rigor into this because the technology and the implementation is moving faster than researchers can kind of catch up and really look into this. So, you know, these are people's nice ideas that we're implementing now. And, you know, I don't know if those people necessarily are thinking about all of the things that we could be thinking about in society.
Loss, protecting identity. How do you think we do that in this digital age where we might end up getting to a point where this is the case, where we do have to go to this digital license?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things we really need is absolute transparency. So, you know, that question around what a business is going to do, are they going to take a photocopy? Well, what they're going to do is they're going to get scanners and then they're going to start to scan it. So then the data that they're getting starts to become much more rich. And you know, say when the police are, you know, are you going to have the fact that you do have a digital license recorded against your name? So then when you are pulled over another time and you want to say, I don't have that on my phone, are you at risk there? The information that can and will be picked up and tracked about us down to that level of detail really needs to be much more clear. And there's been discussions and there's policy that's trying to catch up around, for example, all of our photos from our driver's license being taken and put into a national database. So then all of the states can kind of compare with this national database. So you're starting to look at really kind of detailed biometric and data sharing that can potentially flow across the country, across jurisdiction, from the public sector to the private sector. Lots and lots of questions. And without real clarity and transparency and thought and then the right policy and legislations and rights frameworks, Where does that lead us? What are we letting out of the bag is tricky to see.
How would you like to see us approaching every new digital identity, you know, device that comes to us in the next few years? Because I feel like this is just the start of a conversation that we're going to have again and again and again in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, look, one good example of where we're at is within Australia, there's about 1.3 funded positions that are looking at digital rights in Australia. So we just don't have people that are getting paid to think about this stuff. We don't have people that are paid to support that gap between technologists and policy and the public sector. I find it kind of mystifying that we're not putting a lot of energy and resourcing and thought into how we bring all of these different things together so that we do have the people and the knowledge so that we can answer these really difficult questions. And Electronic Frontiers Australia, we were set up 25 years ago. So when people were doing the technical infrastructure around the internet, at the same time they said, as we start doing this and this technology becomes more advanced, we're going to start to erode human rights, our right to privacy, our right to, you know, some of our basic human rights. And so our organisations like us have been around for a long time because this sort of thing was foreseen. It's sort of troubling that it's still seen as something that's kind of fringy or unfunded. And like I said before, if we're waiting for like academics and research institutes to catch up, they move really slowly. So research around this sort of thing is going to take a year, 2 years at best, to kind of, you know, for us to fully understand it. And then it's not going to be that complex, like, you know, what is the effect of this on marginalised people in society, for example.
Yeah, Lindsay, what do you say to people who say that, you know, this concern is being hyped up, that it's, you know, almost on the line of conspiracy theories and that this is just the age that we live in and we need to get with the times?
I think that the sentiment around that has shifted. I think that's where people were kind of 5 or so years ago. And this is the thing, right? It moves so quickly. So then we see stuff like Cambridge Analytica and the stuff that Facebook's doing, and we start to say, okay, actually, I can see what these private institutions are doing with our data and our information. And that's one of the problems as well. So you've got the government saying, hey, this is going to be handy, like you're going to be able to have your license, you know, you take your phone with you anyway, this is going to be great. But then, you know, then we're also, we use this with private companies. So then you go to the local club and you scan it there. Mm. They're going to do stuff with that information. And that they're going to do whatever they want with that information. And they're going to innovate over the edge. They're going to use that for better marketing, to sell more things. And I think people now really realize that, and are seeing the problems that they're causing, especially young people. I think young people are really aware of what's going on with their data and their information. So to think that this is fringy and Australians don't really care is not my experience. And maybe that's why they're not, you know, they're kind of being, the department's being cautious about it.
Lindsay, really interesting to chat with you about this today. Thank you so much for your insight.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
That's Lindsay Jackson. She's chair of Electronic Frontiers Australia.